What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really? Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figure it out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, to another edition of Chat Habs. I'm your host, Chris G. Sorry about the fact that we are late, but we'll be here for the entire hour. Thank you very much for your patience. Along with me are my usual hosts. We have Mr. Reggie. Reggie, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Not too bad.
And you guys also heard Mr. Lapis, who is back after taking a week off. So welcome back to the show, Mr. Lapis.
Thank you for having me back. I enjoyed my time off last week, and it's good to be back to Chat Habs.
And that's what we're going to do now. And for those of you listening, you can give us a call, 1-877-455-4945, or you can send us an email at chathabs@hotmail.ca. In about 20 minutes' time, we'll be joined by Vicky. She is the owner of Anaheim Ducks Fan Zone. And we're going to talk about more about tonight's game between the Canadiens and the Ducks when it will be the return of Saku Koivu in the city of Montreal. So if we take a look at the scores of the Habs games since our last show last Saturday, Canadiens beat the Rangers 3-2. They beat the Flames 5-4 in overtime. They lost to the Sabres 2-1 in overtime. And last night, they just were all over the Ottawa Senators, 7-1 in Ottawa. And if we look at our picks, Reg, last week you said the Canadiens would go 2-1-1. I said the Canadiens would go 2-2. Canadiens end up going 3-0-1. So, Lapis, you decide who's the winner.
I think Reggie's the winner.
Thank you very much. The people have spoken.
So, congratulations, Reg, on
Thank
your
you
prediction for last week. And once again, Lapis, you're a bust last week with your picks.
I didn't make any picks last week.
Well, even when you do, they're not that good.
Yeah, well, I tried some reverse psychology the previous week when I said 0-3, hoping they would go 3-0, but that didn't materialize.
No. Well, it happened.
So the Canadiens are on a 7-1-2 in the last 10 games. So they recovered after that disaster road trip when you went right before the holidays. So they are sixth place in the conference, 1 point behind third place Boston Bruins, but the Bruins do have one game in hand on the Montreal Canadiens. So guys, the big news for the Montreal Canadiens is actually tonight's game, where the Canadiens are facing the Anaheim Ducks at the Bell Center. This is Saku Koivu's first game back in Montreal since he left. It'll be his first game as an opposing player. So what do you guys expect? It should be an emotional game for Saku Koivu. How do you think the fans are going to react? How do you think Koivu is going to react in his first game? Lapis.
Well, I think the fans should give a positive welcome to Saku Koivu for all he's done for this community. I mean, 13 seasons with the Montreal Canadiens, he was captain, battled cancer, and put together the Saku Koivu Foundation, which helps cancer patients here in Montreal. And he gave his heart out, game in and game out. And I'm expecting nothing but a nice ovation for Koivu before the start of the game.
Well, you know what? I have to agree with that, George, because, I mean, Saku Koivu has been nothing but a model citizen and a model player for the Canadiens while he was here for 13 seasons. And he served, like you said, as the team captain since 1999 to 2009. And, I mean, this guy did a lot for the team and the community, so I don't see why this guy shouldn't get his standing ovation as he deserves.
Exactly.
So, Reg, when you said that Saku Koivu was a model, I'm not sure if everybody will agree with that he was a model, because when he was hitting for Montreal for like about 10 years and he was a captain, a lot of people were saying, well, he doesn't speak French. So how do you think those people are going to react tonight?
Well, look, I don't know about you guys, but I have heard Saku Koivu say a couple of words in French. Now, the guy didn't learn the language. Should he have? That's not really something we should debate, because, look, the guy's not here to learn French or to immerse himself in a new country or whatnot. He was here to play hockey, and that's what he did for 13 years. He was a decent hockey player, although I think, this is according to me, they expected way too much out of him. He was never a first-line center, and he did what he had to do, and the numbers say it all. He has decent numbers for a Canadiens captain for the amount of time that he was here. And look, Chris, nobody's perfect. He did what he did, and I don't see why we shouldn't welcome him with a standing ovation tonight.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of people in the province of Quebec that have been here for over 10 years and still don't speak a word of French. For example, Chris himself, his French is miserable at best. Parents don't speak a word of it. My parents have a hard time, but you know, they never learned French because they got by without it. So same thing goes with Koivu.
And that doesn't make him a bad person per se, you know?
Absolutely not.
But the Canadiens represent, it's the biggest, you could say, the most known, sorry, organization in the province of Quebec.
Okay, Chris, I have a problem here. Now,
okay.
The thing is, I understand what you're saying, but I think that the people's focus should be less on politics and language and more on winning. Now, if people hold it against Saku Koivu, the fact that he didn't bring a Stanley Cup to Montreal, I would agree. But the fact that this guy didn't speak French or didn't learn the language or whatever, that I think is irrelevant.
And then again, the fact that he didn't bring a cup to Montreal, let's face it, guys, he wasn't part of any strong teams. I mean,
indeed.
The late 90s were pretty brutal. The early 2000s were pretty brutal. And, you know, he wasn't surrounded by the players that would allow him to lead him to a Stanley Cup. So, you know what? You can't fault the guy for that. It's upper management. That's their fault.
And actually, yesterday, Saku Koivu did meet the Montreal media at the Bell Center, and he actually said at one point during the press conference that if he had to do it all over again, he probably would have learned the French language, but whatever's happened, happened, so we can't change the past. And there's actually a group on Facebook that has been created, and they're trying to get a push to get Saku Koivu named a star tonight, so they're asking everybody to go on their phones tonight and send a text message, because we all know here in Montreal for the home games, it's the fans that choose the stars. Mm-hmm. And they want Koivu to be named a star for tonight's game. I guess no matter what his performance is, I guess just to honor him.
Well, let's hold on a minute here. Now, I don't mind this guy getting a standing ovation. I don't mind Saku being honored. But let's not throw him any flowers. He is the opposition now. Now, if he wants to get a star, let's let him earn it and not give it to him. And frankly, as much as I like the guy, I don't want to see the Ducks win tonight. What do you think, George?
I agree. You know what? It's all fun and games before the game starts, but once the puck drops, it's back to business.
Thank you.
And in terms of players, to say that Koivu will come back and face his old team, it's actually only six players that Koivu has played with in Montreal that are actually still with the team, and two of them are injured. So it's Markov, who's out for the season. Georges, who's out for the season. Carey Price, who's in goal. Thomas Plekanec, Andrei Kostitsyn, and Roman Hamrlik. So in terms of having lots of friends in the team, not that many left for Saku Koivu tonight, Kanye.
No, we could include also Kirk Muller, who's the assistant coach, but no, it's not the team he left. I mean, this is a brand new team. For them, Koivu is just another player, so there will be no emotion for the Montreal Canadiens side. So it should be an emotionless game for the most part, except for Koivu.
Business as usual, as I say. Business as usual.
But then there's also another player who's coming back for his first game in Montreal since he got traded. Max Lapierre, who was traded earlier, I would say a couple of weeks ago, before the holiday. Actually, it was on New Year's Eve. And what are we expecting from Maxime Lapierre? Like, are the fans going to boo him every time he touches the puck? Are they going to cheer? Because he seemed to be a popular guy in Montreal. Reg, what kind of reaction do you expect from the fans for Lapierre?
Well, look, I think they're going to acknowledge him. But as far as I'm concerned, he should go the same way that he went to Anaheim, and that is unnoticed. Because, I mean, let's face it, this guy didn't do much when he was here. And he left under, how can I say, unceremonious circumstances. And, look, it's totally different from the Koivu situation when he left. So, no, I mean, I don't think the fans are going to boo him or anything. I don't think so. But you never know with the Montreal fans, George?
Yeah, you never know. But he might get a few cheers. But if I was at the Bell Center, then I wouldn't cheer. I'd be neutral. I'd be quiet. You know, I mean, he's just another player. You know, played a couple of seasons here. Now he's somewhere else. Life goes on.
Indeed.
But I actually disagree with you guys. I think Max Lapierre is going to get booed.
Chris, are you going to be doing the booing?
No, because I won't be at the game at the Bell Center. But I definitely think that he'll get booed. Cole, when he came back and he was playing with the Senators, he got booed. And when he was here in Montreal, everybody loved him. They loved him a lot more than they loved Lapierre. So I definitely do expect Lapierre to get booed as well. So Lapierre on the ice, we all know that he's a trash talker. After the whistle, doing some pushing, some shoving, some yapping. Will he be doing that to his former teammates? And for him, it's really his former teammates because he knows everybody on the roster. So Lapis, do you think he'll continue playing his game tonight?
Well, if that's his style, well, he should continue. And then I guess Ryan White won't hesitate to drop the gloves with him because, you know, Ryan White doesn't really know him that well. So I think we'll see a Max Lapierre-Ryan White fight tonight.
Really?
That's what I'm predicting.
Well, you know what? I mean, the one knock on Lapierre was that he was an agitator that didn't finish the job. And what I mean by that is, he would put his feet in the water, but not actually jump in, you know?
I know.
I don't expect him to play any different than when he was here, but I think that his old teammates know who he is and how he plays, and I don't think they're going to fall into the trap that he's going to lay for them. So, no, I don't know. I don't know, George. I don't think there's going to be anything to it. There might not be a fight.
We'll see. Yeah, well, if there's a fight, because Lapierre won't want to drop the gloves.
Indeed.
And I guess if we see him going after a player, we'll certainly know, like, you know, the chemistry, like the Vincent Bryce chemistry, for example. If he goes after, I don't know, Thomas Plekanec, maybe you could sort of assume that it wasn't going well between LaPierre and Plekanec in the dressing room when LaPierre was here. So maybe some truth will come up tonight from the game.
We never know.
There's actually two less known players actually that are coming back to play the first game in Montreal since they left. Kyle Tchoukura, which was Lapa's favorite player, and Paul Mara, who are also playing the first game back in Montreal. Lapa, do you see any of these guys making a difference in tonight's game?
You never know, maybe, because Tchoukura probably thinks he didn't get a fair chance. And Paul Mara was injured for most of the season, so he didn't really get to make an impact. So if anything, it might be Koivu, LaPierre, and Tchoukura that might make a difference, if any, tonight.
Hey, let me ask you something, guys. I noticed a pattern here. Chris, you've been naming a lot of former Canadiens players going over to Anaheim. I see a trend here. Is there some sort of connection between the Ducks and us because of the general manager? I mean, I'm looking at the names that were traded. Other than Koivu, there was a bunch of non-impact players that were dealt.
Yeah, it's definitely, I'm sure Pierre Gauthier, with his old connections back on his former team, definitely did have, was important. But example, same thing, look at Brian Burke. Now with the Leafs, he's been doing a couple of trades with Howell, with his old teams, where he used to manage. So I definitely do think that the relationship is still built between the Canadiens and the Ducks, and I'm sure it will continue in the future. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that some of these trades, I mean, it seems like he's been pulling off trades with his old team, but it hasn't been bringing the results he's been looking for. You know, it's just too bad.
I guess time will tell. 1-877-455-4945 is the phone number to reach us. chathabs@hotmail.ca. We'll be joined by our guest in about a little bit less under 10 minutes' time. So another big news for the Montreal Canadiens this week was actually the injury to Michael Camilleri, who got injured on Tuesday night with an upper body injury. That's all that we've learned officially from the Canadiens, but just by looking from the hit that he got against the Buffalo Sabres on Tuesday, you could pretty much tell it was probably a separated shoulder that Camilleri suffered. And that's a big loss for the Canadiens, especially if it's a team that's been having trouble scoring. So losing a player like Camilleri, Lapas, it's going to hurt the Canadiens.
Yeah, you know, it might not hurt them in the short term. As you probably saw last night, the Canadiens beat Ottawa 7-1. But long term, I think they're going to miss a player like Camilleri who can put the puck in the net. Was struggling lately, but I'm sure was going to come out of it eventually. So Pierre Gauthier has his work cut out for him.
Well, you know what? I see this as a good thing for certain players because it's time for them to pick up the slack when there's injuries like that. And the scoring load shouldn't be shouldered by the first line only, you know? I mean, there's some players that are doing their job, like Plekanec. And finally, we're seeing the emergence of our friend Kostitsyn there. And it seems like that talk with the coach... It sparked a little fire, but I guess we'll talk about that later. But you know what? This is an opportunity for other players to come to the plate and show what they could do because, guys, things like that are going to happen throughout a long season like that. And it's time like these where you see who are the real good playoff contending NHL teams, the ones that could get over the hump of injuries and things like that.
So, Reg, which players do you think are the ones that should step up for the Canadiens during Camilleri's absence?
Well, I just mentioned one of them. I mean, Mr. Kostitsyn, he better wake up because after his little talk with Jacques Martin, and by the way, that talk was made public, I think he has the most pressure on him because notice how they've been shuffling him through lines. And I'm looking at another player like Pouliot. Pouliot is very unpredictable. He has his highs, he has his lows. But they need consistency out of this guy. He had a good game last night, but like George said, it's a matter of sustaining that consistency. So I'm looking at those two players to make an impact.
And let's not forget, Scott Gomez promised to elevate his game. So he promised, so he has to deliver now.
Wait a second. Yeah, I think you can't go to the bank with promises, George.
And there's also the game on Tuesday night against the Buffalo Sabres was actually it was a very weird game because the Canadiens at the end of the first period had lost four players. So they lost Camilleri, who we just spoke about. They also lost during that period Max Pacioretty, who suffered it seems to be a bruised rib from just a slap shot that was taken from Wisniewski. I think I said it correctly.
You never get that name right, Chris.
Wiz.
No, I think I'll just call it the Wiz from now on. So he got a slap shot from the Wiz. I don't know if you guys saw it, but that looked painful for Max Pacioretty. And he even ended up leaving the game in a stretcher. So that seemed a lot more dangerous and painful than it actually did. But Pacioretty ended up playing last night, so everybody was surprised about that. Canadians also lost in that period Jeff Halpern, who got injured, and he's listed as day-to-day and questionable for tonight. And even at the end of the first period, it seemed like P.K. Subban also had gotten hurt, but I guess for him it was just a sting, and he was back for the second period and for the rest of the game. So, Lapis, I'm not sure if you saw that game. Canadians only lost 2-1 in overtime. But considering all those other factors, I think it was a moral victory for the Canadians against the Sabres.
I think it was. I mean, down with so many, like they were down pretty much to three lines, and they played with courage. Carey Price kept them in it until the very end, and you know what? It's a loss that I don't mind. Normally, I get pissed when they lose, but this one, I was quite happy with the result.
Yes, indeed, Chris. It was a moral victory, and you know what, George, you're right. When you overcome circumstances like that in the game, it's a good sign that your team is solid and that they're willing to adapt and to go through a growing pains like that. I mean, it was a fluke night, I have to say, because that many injuries, that many players impacted in the game due to injuries, that you don't see that often. But no, it's definitely a moral victory in that game.
And even the game was being broadcasted on TSN, and Pierre Maguire, who's had many years' experience in broadcasting, and he's even a coach of an assistant coach of the Penguins and the Whalers, said that was probably the weirdest game he's ever seen, because even the Buffalo Sabres had a couple of players who got hurt in that game. So it was definitely, I think the Canadians were ready to call 911 after that game and just get the hell out of there. So we wanted the game to finish as soon as possible. Last night against the Senators, the Canadians suffered another injury. Travis Mullen got injured. He's questionable for tonight once again against the Mighty Ducks. So with all these injuries, Canadians actually did call up two players, Ryan White and Andreas Engqvist, got called up from the Hamilton Bulldogs earlier this week. And they actually played the first game last night. Lapis, what do you think about those two players from what you saw last night?
Well, you know, they certainly didn't come here to score because the stats in Hamilton don't reflect this. I think they just came up to fill the gaps because other players that usually play on those lines now have to step it up. So, you know, you move people from the back to the front, and then you got to fill the back. That's all it is.
Yep, I have to agree with that. And, I mean, for those players, they couldn't have come at a better time. I mean, it seems like everything was going right for the Canadians last night, 7-1. It seems like everybody participated in the goals that were scored yesterday. So, no, I mean, I think they went unnoticed in yesterday's game, and that's a good thing, the fact that they went unnoticed.
And actually, like a player like Engqvist, he's a big player. Seems like he was brought here because of the role to replace Jeff Halpern. So he was brought here to play the third line or the fourth line. That's what he did. And he played 12 and a half minutes last night for Engqvist. And Ryan White played 12 minutes as well. And he even got into a fight. Ryan White.
Well, that's his role here. So.
Yeah, just trying to make an impression with the team.
Yeah, well, you know what? At least those guys didn't do negative things to affect the team last night. So they did their job.
All right, guys, so we're going to go to our Chat Tabs hotline where we have our guest on standby. She is the owner of the Anaheim Ducks Fan Zone. Her name is Vicky. Hi, Vicky. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing good, thanks.
Hi, Vicky.
Hello.
So Vicky, tonight it's Saku Koivu coming back to play his first game in Montreal as an opposing player. So here in Montreal, we're getting a lot of media coverage all week. Has this even been mentioned or like any story brought up in Anaheim?
Oh, yeah, it's a big deal over here, too. We're in on the Facebook thing to vote him the number one star, and we're just really happy for him that he gets to play in his old team, and we want him to, you know, we want him to look good when he's there.
So are you going to vote for him to be the first star tonight?
I'm going to try to. We don't know if there are all Americans to vote in this, but if they do, we have a bunch of Americans here that are ready to help out with the vote.
Good luck.
Thank you.
So this is Koivu's second season with the Ducks. Can you tell us more about what Koivu's brought to Anaheim since he's been there?
Well, it took him a while when he first got here to find his, you know, sea legs and get to play his game. But once he found his legs, like, everyone here started to love him. So he fits in pretty well, and he plays on the Blake and Solani line, so they call him the finish line. And he seems to really enjoy himself here.
So another player that's coming back to play his first game in Montreal, Maxime Lapierre, he got traded to the Ducks on the New Year's Eve. So how has been Lapierre's play since he joined the Ducks?
He's still trying to figure the system out, but he's been doing pretty well. He almost had his first goal the other night, but they reviewed it and it went to Brandon McMillan instead. But, you know, he's trying. Trying to get there.
Hi, Vicky. This is Reginald. I have a question for you. The Ducks have been doing pretty good during these past few weeks, and it's a good sign because I believe you're still missing one of your best players, Ryan Getzlaf. Could you tell us the status on Getzlaf and when he might be coming back and the way that the team has been playing during his absence?
Yeah, Ryan, we miss Ryan Getzlaf. He's supposed to be out. His original number was 4 to 6 weeks, so he could be back sometime in February. And last time I saw him at Casino Night, which they hold for fans, and he looked all right. And I think it's just, you know, a matter of, you know, waiting now. And, you know, We've been able to hold our own without him, but we'd be a lot better with him. So we just have to wait for him.
Yeah, you're right, and I have to agree with you because he's a big part of your team there. But it seems like the one player I've noticed that stepped it up for you guys as well is your goaltender Hiller. Talk to us about his play and his maturation through the organization.
Hiller has been huge for us during this injury. He didn't have the greatest of starts to the season, but he's found his game now, and he's really ready to pick it up, and he's there to bail us out when we need bailout. And, you know, it's like Randy Carlyle always says, yeah, at least they gave us a chance, and as long as we have a chance, we're fine. And Hiller's been there to give us at least a chance in every game.
So this morning at the Ducks practice here at the Bell Center in Montreal, every time that Saku Koivu was touching the puck, the Ducks players were actually cheering for Koivu to try to get him used to the crowd tonight, because that's what seems to be the consensus on how the crowd is going to react to him. And on the other hand, every time Lapierre was touching the puck, well, they were booing him. So do you think either the fan reaction there was a positive for Coy with a negative for LaPierre. Do you think this will actually affect their play or the Ducks in general play tonight?
Oh, I don't know LaPierre enough to know if the booing would affect him, but I know Koivu has, he should, it'll be like nothing's happening, you know. When he gets a standing ovation, it'll get him a little teary-eyed, but his focus is mainly on the game, and that's what he's there to do. And LaPierre, I knew almost nothing about him until he came here. So all I know is he's pretty chirpy. He's like, you know, our Corey Perry in a way. So that's all I really know about LaPierre. So I hope the booing doesn't affect him.
Yes, and you mentioned a player that is one of my favorite in the NHL, Corey Perry. He's having a fantastic season. I mean, could you give us a little prediction of how many points he's going to end up with this year?
I don't know. He's on pace, you know, he can hang up there with, you know, Crosby and Malkin if he wanted to, you know, he just has to want it.
Yep, you're right.
So, Vicky, every time we have a guest on, we always put them on the spot and ask him who's going to win the game. So tonight, who's winning? Is it going to be the Ducks or the Bleu Blanc Rouge, the Montreal Canadiens?
Well, this might be the unpopular choice, but I'm going to go with the Ducks. And it's because they got beaten by the Maple Leafs the other night, and they have to bounce back from that because that's terrible.
Exactly. It is terrible. Like, nobody could lose. I don't understand how anybody loses to the Maple Leafs. And so,
not the brightest in their season.
No, well, as you could tell, Vicky, there is absolutely no love lost whatsoever for our Maple Leaf listeners.
So, Vicky, right before we let you go, Vicky, why don't you just tell us about your website?
Well, I run Anaheim Duck Fan Zone. It's a blog. I try to keep up with it so I can keep it at a game day pace. And you'll see a game day graphic every game day. And then after the game, you'll get a recap after the game. And then in the little sidebar, it lets you know all the stats and stuff, you know, wins, losses, and, you know, who's injured and who's not. And go from there.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us, Vicky. We really do appreciate it, and enjoy tonight's game.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
All right.
Take care, Vicky.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So that was Vicky, our guest, who was the owner of Anaheim's fan blog, talking about tonight's game. So I'm not surprised that she said that the Ducks would win tonight's game, and I guess we'll talk about what we think about our predictions for the game later on in the show. But let's chat Habs, because that's what we're here for. If we go back to the game against the Calgary Flames on Monday night,
mm-hmm.
there was a big, it seems like everybody forgot about the fact that Canadiens had a 4-0 lead and they lost a 4-goal lead and they had to go in overtime and win it. The big news after the game seemed to be the P.K. Subban celebration after his overtime winner against the Calgary Flames. And the big story was, it seems like some of the veterans didn't appreciate it. So, Lapis, do you think that the celebration was out of place?
No. I mean, the following night when Jason Pomerville scored an overtime for the Sabres, he did a celebration and nobody had a problem with that. So I don't understand why they're picking on P.K. I mean, here's PK, who got the overtime winner, probably salvaged what was turning out to be a disastrous night. You know, he's in Montreal, the fans are cheering, he put a nice show on for us. What's wrong with that?
Yep, George, I totally agree with you. And Chris, let me remind you that, no, it did not go unnoticed that the Canadiens blew a 4-0 lead. And I'd like to accentuate the 4-0, because I'm sure Jacques Martin was irate. And I was watching that game. And the reason why I was irate, because if you remember correctly, last week I said that the Canadiens should play Alex Auld more often. And what does Auld do? He makes me look bad, and he gives up he gives up all these goals. And I can tell you this: the third and the fourth goal, those were the ones that did him in. He looked very, very, very ordinary. The first two goals, they're debatable, but no, I'm not impressed with how Alex Auld played. And I don't like when I'm being ridiculed because of a player like that. And I have to say that, you know what, as far as the PK celebration, people, get off his back. He's a young player. He scored an overtime goal. I mean, let him celebrate. If it was anywhere else in the NHL, this would be a non-issue. And as far as the veterans are concerned, if they have a problem, why don't they show him the way? Why don't they step up their game? Why don't they score goals?
You know, at the end of the day, PK Subban puts people in the seat. People pay to watch him. He's the future of this team, with along with Carey Price and Max Pacioretty. It's not the old geezers like Gomez and Hamrlik and Spacek. It's the young kids. So,
thank you.
If the veterans have a problem with it, then you know what, Reggie? You're right. The veterans have to step it up.
So guys, I just want you to listen to what PK had to say after the game about the celebration.
Walk us through the goal and the celebration.
Well, I mean, I think the celebration is going to take away from the goal now a little bit. To be honest with you, I was really excited for that. You know, I kind of looked back and I was like, did I really have to celebrate, you know, that much? But, you know, like I said, I was excited, and I hope, you know, maybe on the other team kind of, you know, gets really excited about it. I was just really excited, but, you know, Goldman made a really nice pass. I mean, that's what he does, you know, and Gio drove the net. So I think the goalie was cheating a little bit. I just, you know, I just kind of, I saw a short side. I just tried to put it on. I mean, Gomer, you know, he made it feel there.
So guys, I'm not sure if you guys are able to hear the clip good, but PK seemed like he was actually, the way he was talking, seemed like he regretted it. Is that, did somebody go talk to him? Did one of the veterans go up to PK and tell him, well, maybe you shouldn't have done that?
Yeah, well, I could tell you who went and talked to him. Jacques Martin admitted in an interview that he did mention a word about that. But, I mean, look, you can't expect this kid to play a different style of game. This is how he knows. And you know what? At least he's aware of it. But I just hope that all these shenanigans, all these put downs on him, it's not going to affect him, his game in the long run. Because it'll be a shame to see a young player like that lose his confidence over silly issues like that. And you know what? If he keeps scoring goals like that, he could do cartwheels. He could do flips on the rink. I don't care. Just as long as he's winning and the team's winning and they're doing good. What do you think, George?
I agree. Like, there's a time and place for this. Like, yesterday when he scored the seventh goal against Ottawa, he didn't celebrate. He was just, all right, I've got a goal. All right, you know, move on.
But did he not celebrate because of what happened in the game against Calgary, or did he just not celebrate because the score was 7-1?
Because the score was 7-1. He's not dumb, the kid. I mean, he scored the overtime winner to salvage what was going to be a disastrous night. So, you know what? It's overtime goal is thrilling. It's exciting.
Yeah. Exactly. And Chris, I've seen you celebrate goals when you were playing field hockey. I mean, you were going nuts. I even saw you take your clothes off, but he didn't do that.
That's when I played hockey with Chris.
So just, I want you guys to hear one more clip. Scott Gomez, when you asked him to comment on the celebration.
The fact that we gave up a four-goal lead, it just, you know, I mean, score the goal, I mean, you know, been through a lot of the. I'm sorry I didn't react. I didn't know I was supposed to go jump on PK's back and do it. But hey, I was, me and Brian, we looked at each other and, like, you know, just kind of had a smirk because, you know, that's, you know, you can't, you don't want to do that. You can't, I mean, you know, have a four goal lead at home. I mean, that's, you know, things are, hey, if you got 82 of these games, it's going to happen. I'm not saying that, but the way it happened, you know, the penalties against Quad, we just, those are things, the little things that, you know, come back to bite you. I mean, we got the 2 points, and like I said, we were all ribbing PK afterwards in the locker room. I don't know. I really don't know where all this came from.
So Reg, so from Scott Gomez's explanation, it's pretty clear that he wasn't crazy about the celebration, but he's saying it's, well, we blew a 4-0 lead. Like, was there to celebrate?
Let me tell you what there is to celebrate. They did blow a 4-0 lead, but like George said, they managed to salvage something out of that game because they could have gotten zero. And I'm not surprised that Mr. Gomez reacted like that or he said something like that because, I mean, let's face it, this guy is not used to scoring goals in the NHL. I mean, he doesn't have that much to celebrate for. So I'm not surprised that comments like that came from him. He's talking as if he's a veteran. And don't forget, he's one of the older guys in the locker room. So I guess that he has to play the older brother or the more serene type of player because, look, he's not putting up points like he's supposed to justify the contract, so he might as well do other stuff that are good.
So, Salapas, do you think PK is causing problems in the dressing room?
I hope not. I mean, he's a very important player in the team. But like, from all the defensemen, who plays the most minutes? PK.
Thank you.
You know? Who's on the power play? PK.
Thank you.
Who's defended? PK.
Thank you.
Do they have much of a choice in putting anybody else good for PK Subban?
Exactly, they don't. So just leave the kid alone.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think it's a little bit of jealousy from the other players because look, I mean, some players like let's say Gomez because I just heard him now, he's on the downside of his career. He's never going to get another contract as the one that he got now. So I think he's playing good soldiers so that he could stick around for a very long time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think it's also because PK sells more T-shirts than Scott, so...
Ouch!
So the phone number to join us, 1-877-455-4945, chathabs@hotmail.ca is the email address. So, Reg, you're talking about Alex Auld just a couple minutes ago. And if you look at the game against the Flames, like you said last week, we spoke that he had a great game against the Rangers, and we said how this will probably build confidence, not only to Alex Hall, but to the players, to the coaches. And then after the game that he played against the Flames, do you think Price will ever get any rest until the end of the season?
Oh, boy. You know what? If Alex Hall keeps playing like that, I don't think so. Because it is unacceptable that a player like Auld, who's a veteran, who's been around the league for a while, to come up and put up a stinker like that in a game where it's very important for the Canadiens to build momentum. And also, I mean, let's face it, we keep talking about the injuries, and you have to have a goalie on top of his game, whether it's the backup or the starter, in order for the Canadiens to have a chance to win. So, no, I'm not impressed with how Alex Auld played. And you know what? I mean, let's see if indeed he's going to be a long-term solution as backup, which I doubt. But, hey, I guess we're going to have to deal with him and stick with him for this period of time right now, you know?
So, Lapis, was it just a one-game thing? We should just forget about it. He plays only once every 2 months. Or is it something we should be concerned about?
I think we shouldn't be too concerned about it. I mean, Alex Auld is going to play again until the end of the season, but I would recommend that he doesn't play in Montreal because obviously he was nervous. So I say we just keep him for these road games. Let Carey Price start at home because people pay money to see Carey Price and not Alex Auld.
Good point.
And does a game like against the Calgary Flames, does that worry the players, like, in the sense that I'm thinking if Carey Price, something happens to him, he gets injured, let's knock on wood, well, then who's going to be their goalie? Alex Auld. So, like, you know, after a game like the Flames, I got worried. Like, I'm thinking, oh, boy, we're so dependent on Carey Price this year.
Team's a top problem, Chris.
Well, last year, Canadiens didn't have a problem.
Last year, no, but other teams do have problems. For example, let's say Pittsburgh. I mean, okay, Brent Johnson. Okay, he's okay. He's a good backup, but can he carry the load? No, he can't. You know, the Flyers. You know, they got Bobrovsky and Boucher. Even though Bobrovsky is the number one guy, can Boucher fill in? He showed in the past that he can't. I mean, the list goes on and on. In L.A., Jonathan Quick. Who's behind Jonathan Quick? You know, even the Islanders now, they went and they got Nabokov, and because they don't have any goalies. Well, they don't have a team, but, you know.
Yeah, well, Well, they have two AHL goalies now right now that are playing for the New York Rangers because they got rid of Rolfin as well.
Yeah.
But just speaking about Nabokov, just right before the show when I was going through some websites, TSN and ESPN are actually reporting that Nabokov will not report to the New York Islanders.
I don't blame the guy. You left the NHL for a reason, and then you come back to sign for a specific team, and then to have the Islanders pull something dirty like this, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't report to them.
Well, it happened a couple of weeks ago with Marek Zvados as well, where he came back from the KHL, signed with one team, went through waivers, and then the Blues picked him up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they make him go through waivers. I mean, the guy he signed with a team for a reason because he wants to play for that team. So why are the other teams, you know, there's an unwritten rule, you don't pick up a guy in waivers once he's signed with another team. You know, you just don't do that. That's dirty.
Well, you know what? Guys, don't forget players are interchangeable parts. They're you know, it's like playing chess, you know? So these teams have no problem moving these players. And I understand Nabokov's situation because, let's face it, I wouldn't want to go play for the Islanders either. But, I mean, getting back to what we were saying, the new NHL, guys, requires for a team to have two decent goaltenders. The days of riding one goaltender all the way to the promised land, I think those days are over. If you don't have a viable backup goalie, you're not going to go far in the NHL. And, yes, Chris, I have to agree with you. I'm a little worried after what I saw from our friend Alex Auld. But, again, maybe George is right. Maybe that was just a hiccup that game. We'll see. But he will get a few more starts.
Another player who had a couple of hiccups, me and Reg, we spoke about it last week, was AK-46, Andrei Kostitsyn, where he had gone and he had a talk with Jacques Martin. And Reg, I remember last week, we were saying, well, is this going to work? Is this what he needed? Like, we really weren't sure about it. But, boy, in the last 7 days, Kostitsyn's a different player. In the last three games, 3 goals, 1 assist, and he's a team leader with a plus 12 since the beginning of the season. So, Reg, the talk with Martin definitely did work for AK.
Well, you're selling yourself short as well as I. Maybe the talk that we had last week woke him up, because don't forget, people, it is his contract season, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hopefully he heard that little comment. So, yeah, it's normal that he picked it up, and he has to, given the injuries. But you know what? I'm a little skeptical of AK because he's going to be looking to get a similar contract or even more. Does he deserve it? I don't know. What do you think, George?
I think give it a week and we won't be talking about his offensive numbers anymore. We'll be talking about his lack of interest.
I guess that says it all, huh?
But at the end of the day, you know, we come down hard on Andre, but he leads the team in plus-minus. He's among the top leading goal scorers. And, yeah, we put him down, but we praise players like Camilleri and Gianta and these guys don't have as good plus-minus, so he must be doing something right somewhere.
George, the thing is, he has to do something right, given the opportunities given to him. Don't forget, Camilleri hasn't been there for a while. Gianta, look, I'm going to make it official for the first time. He's nothing special to me, and there's been a lot of injuries to justify why Andre has put up and needs to put up these type of numbers.
Right.
And also, Kostitsyn got most of his goals in the beginning of the season because he started off the season on fire when he was playing with Plekanec and Camilleri. And then he went through this big slump until, well, this week again when he woke up again. So I guess he just has to be a little more consistent throughout the season for AK-46. So,
you're right, Chris.
So just another NHL news about a former Montreal Canadiens. I'm not sure if you guys heard about it, but the famous website TMZ.com has actually reported that Mike Komisarek is in trouble for punching a woman in a nightclub in Los Angeles. So is it just? So I'm not sure if you guys have heard about this. So Is it just somebody trying to get famous or doing this, or is it just a story just made up from nothing?
George, if you may, can I go first?
Go right ahead.
Chris, I'm glad that you brought up this story because I think Mr. Komisarek is maybe a year or two too late with that punch he threw to that woman. I think that punch was supposed to be directed to Milan Lucic that whipped his butt on the ice a couple of times. So I wish him luck, Komisarek, because he's going to need it.
Now, I don't know if it's true or not. I read this story on RDS.ca. I don't know if they got it from TMZ, what the source is, but we haven't heard anything else yet. So until we get it from a trustworthy source, to me it's just fiction. But at the end of the day, why would you punch a woman?
I know, huh?
You're a big boy. You're 6'4". You weigh 230 pounds. So she slapped you. Well, allegedly, he picked her up. She slapped him. He punched her. So she slapped you. So blow her a kiss. No, you're a hockey player.
But at the same time, George, like, why would you steal a woman's purse? You know, and the Canadians did that last year also in Tampa Bay.
With Ryan O'Byrne, well, that's a different story. That there's rumors about compromising pictures of Cristobal Irea on that phone, and Ryan O'Byrne stole the purse to take the cell phone and erase the pictures. So that's a whole other story. There was no physical violence involved in that.
But you know what? I have to agree with George. I mean, this was confirmed by sources like TMZ, and as far as I'm concerned, that's not real journalism. You know what I'm saying? So I think that I'll take the politically correct route, and I'll be mature about it. Let's wait and see if indeed this is true or not, because, I mean, come on, TMZ.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of minutes. There's still like two games from the Canadiens last week that we haven't really spoken about. The first one is the last Saturday's game from the Habs against the New York Rangers. Canadiens took an early lead, dominated the first two periods of play, but then in the third period, it seems like it's not the first time this happens. Canadiens shut it down, and the Rangers actually almost came back and were putting the pressure against the Montreal Canadiens. And even after the game, Carey Price said, well, I kept looking at the clock because I wanted the game to finish as soon as possible. So, Lapis, do you think, like, is this kind of like a Jacques Martin style of play, or is it just the players that stop playing? It seems like this always happens for the Canadiens, that they shut it down.
Well, personally, I didn't watch the game. I did hear about it. But, no, it's not a Jacques Martin thing. This is not the first time I've seen the Canadiens take a lead in the second and then just sit back. This goes back to as far as I can remember. So it's not a Jacques Martin thing. It's a human behavioral thing. You know, even me and you, Chris, when our team takes the lead in ball hockey and there's a few minutes left, we tend to sit back and then the teams attack. So it's the same thing, you know. You don't wanna go for it and take a chance and then make a mistake and then it comes back to bite you, so you tend to sit back, ease off the pedal. So that's all it is.
Yeah, and you know what? I have to agree with you, George, because as far as I could go back as well, watching the Canadiens play on TV and whatnot, they've always done that.
Exactly.
And what's going to happen is it's going to come back and haunt them. And secondly, it's not a Jacques Martin type style for his team. It's just that the Canadiens are not mentally tough yet. And the ones that should be leading the charge with this is the veterans. And I'm getting back with those veterans on this team because this is not a letdown that those guys should let happen when the game is on the line. Because when you have a lead in the NHL, it's not a given that you're going to win the game. So it's the veterans as well as the coaching staff to clamp down and say, okay, guys, let's close this game out. And that's the problem of the Montreal Canadiens, I find. And they've had that problem for a very long time. They don't know how to close games out and to just put an end to the opposition, you know?
Except for last night. Last night, Canadiens just were all over.
Yeah, it was over after 10 minutes. I mean, come on.
Yes. But, guys, I mean, let's face it. They were playing the Ottawa Senators. And Mika, it's no bash against her team, but, I mean, they're not a powerhouse either. So they don't have the horses to come back in a game like that. So obviously, when you have a huge lead like that against a team such as the Senators, yeah, you could lay off the gas pedal a little bit. But again, with certain other teams in the league, the higher echelon teams, you can't get away with stuff like that.
And, well, actually, at the end of the first period, the score was actually only 2-1. And at the end of the first period, the Senators were actually playing better than the Canadiens. But then the last two periods is when the Canadiens just blew it away. And remember, Reg, last week we asked Mika if Corey Kluson would be the coach last night or if he would have gotten rid of him before last night's game. And Mika said that she thinks that Kluson will be here until the end of the season. After last night's game, 7-1 destruction, I'm not that sure anymore. I don't think that Kluson is going to finish the season. And I think maybe even last night's game might be like the last straw for him.
Well, you know what? I mean, I totally agree with you, Chris. And I think that he's on a short leash. And we'll see if he could get this team back on track. But, I mean, guys, I'm going to ask you this question to both of you. Do you think the Ottawa Senators have enough to make the playoffs this year?
No.
I think even Brian Murray should just get the boot. But this is not Chad Sands. This is Chad Happ, so who cares about the Sands?
So we have to just enough time to make our predictions. There's only two games this week because of the All-Star break. So Lapis, we'll start with you since you weren't here last week and since you suck. Tonight, the Canadiens playing the Ducks in Montreal, and Tuesday night, Canadiens playing the Flyers in Philly. What is the Canadiens' record?
Say 1-1. They're going to beat the Ducks, but I don't see them beating the Flyers. Not with
Red.
The series.
You know what? It's not that I'm a copycat, but George makes a lot of sense. They're going to put a stop to this emotional roller coaster that Koivu was going through, but I do not see them competing against the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't give them a chance of beating the Flyers, so they're going to go 1-1. Let me guess, Chris, you're going to have to go against the wave, against the grain, huh?
He's going
to
say 2-0. That's what he's going to say.
No, I'm not going to say 2-0, and I'm not actually going to follow you guys as well. I think the Canadiens are going to go 0-1-1 in the next two games. They're going to lose tonight's game in regulation and choose a nice game against the Flyers in extra time.
You always got to be different, man.
Well, no, I always have to be right.
Like you said, the Canadiens would be third in the conference. Where are they now?
Well, they're 1 point behind.
Doesn't matter.
So they're still playing.
As it stands right now, currently, I said early in the season they'd be fifth or sixth. Right now, I am right, and you are wrong.
Well, you were very vague. I was precise. And that's it. It'd be third.
Now, there, fellas. Why can't we all just get along?
So that's all the time we have, guys, for the show this week. We went a little bit overboard because our show started a bit late today due to some technical difficulties. Next week, next Saturday, is the All-Star game, so it'll be an All-Star edition of Chad Habb. So, Lapis, I guess you'll take the week off because we don't need people like you on the show.
Actually, you beat me to the punch because I was going to say you were going to take the week off, but... Shay.
So, thanks for listening, everybody. You can always send us an email while we're gone. chadhabbs@hotmail.ca is the email address. Or else come back next Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. We'll start the show on time like we promised that. And come back next Saturday and let's chat Habs. See you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.
Have a good week, everybody.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figure it out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Over 100 years ago, Boar's Head opened its doors with a different set of rules. No cutting corners, no compromises. Exceptional Boar's Head products began to appear. Our deluxe ham, oven gold turkey, and ever roast chicken, made to standards rarely found in the deli business today. Of course, Boar's Head isn't sold everywhere, only in stores that share our high standards and slice our products fresh at the deli. Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere.